Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
And we'll go to Kyiv next, where snow and freezing temperatures have descended and millions of people have only limited access to electricity, water and heat. The blackouts following Wednesday's missile attacks on Ukrainian infrastructure, they keep rolling on, it seems. Timofey Milanovov is a former Ukrainian economy minister. He's now an advisor to the Zelensky government and is also president of the Kyiv School of Economics. He's been updating me on what life is like now in Kyiv as harsh wintry conditions take hold.
In Kyiv, in Celsius, it's around zero. It's sometimes plus one, plus two, sometimes minus three. That's during the day. At night, it probably gets lower, minus five, minus seven, at times maybe minus five.
And with those cold temperatures, how are you faring, particularly since last Wednesday, the attacks that we all saw reported last Wednesday, and access to electricity and water and heating restricted in houses?
The water is a big problem because you might have drinking water and everyone has stockpiled on drinking water, but then the toilets, excuse me for just being direct, stop working. And what do? You just don't have enough water to flush them. And so that becomes a nightmare. They get close. It's really bad. So I didn't anticipate that. And now we all have a lot of technical water. Every building, everyone has saved a lot. But then after a couple of days, heating becomes a problem. Because in the first days, the buildings are still warm and the walls are warm. But about day two or three, the temperature becomes a problem. It's really uncomfortable. You have to get all dressed up with in warm clothes and sleep in them. And it's really, really unpleasant.
And I saw on your social media, you went looking for a tent to sleep in, a tent inside your apartment. Is that right?
That's correct. So now we have a plan that we essentially, if everything fails, we realize we have to have a bulletproof solution. So we decided we're going to camp in our apartment if things are worse. So we had the sleeping bags and we bought a tent and we bought a stove and got some, you know, firewood and lighting fluid and some of the food, which is kind of camping food, you know. And so I think we are okay. If things get tough, we're going to be just camping inside the apartment.
I hope that works. But things are tough already, Timofey, aren't they? Because I saw for drinking water that you tried to melt some snow, but it didn't work. Is that right?
No, it didn't work. And we tried to do it in the beginning, like when, you know, in those first 2 days when the water was out, you know. For example, our students at our university, they asked me, several just came up to me and said, listen, we can't buy any drinking water anywhere. Just because several stores or many of the stores have shut down, not all, big stores have not. So you need to have a car to get there. And, you know, taxis don't work, you know, because the internet is not there. So students are stuck. Just another reminder for me that water is crucial. Now I have 125 liters of technical water and maybe 60 liters of drinking water in my apartment.
And you were saying as well that it's difficult to melt snow in the apartment because if you bring snow inside, in that quantity, it can make it colder.
Yeah, I don't think it's practical. First of all, it takes forever for, you know, and people on social networks are suggesting, oh, you know, why, you know, try to melt it, try to put it on a stove. But I mean, that's the point. Nothing is working, you know.
Yeah. You described the rolling blackouts, energy blackouts, and then at 1:30 a.m. one morning, you realized the electricity had come back. And what did you do? Explain to our listeners.
The first thing we went is to start heating heaters, electric heaters on. I bought electric heaters, you know. And the second one is I immediately started boiling rice and other things I can do. So I have warm food because I haven't had warm food for a day or two. And warm food makes you comfortable and gives you moral strength, you know, to go on. So you need to have some warm food at least occasionally.
Is spirit and morale good among people, even in desperate times like this?
You know, I have plenty of time to reflect on this, you know. I have a green card. I can go back, you know. I can go to the U.S. Embassy any moment. It's 1 mile from here, from where I live. Mm. Why would I stay here? Why? What kind of, you know, self-inflicted pain? I think we will get through this because it's about love. I mean, I know it's kind of silly. But it's sort of, I think, to get through this kind of hardship, you need people to be willing and wanting to help each other. And so I simply want to be here because it's my country, and we have been colonized by Russia since the Tsarist times. And maybe for the first time in 300 years, we have an opportunity to become truly independent, to save the country for the generations to come.
I was going to ask you, finally, Dr. Mullavanov, if you're afraid for the winter and the cold ahead. But having listened to you there, I get the sense that you're beyond fear now.
That's true. We are not afraid. We are emotional about it. We are dying here on the front lines, and we need to take care of our elderly and children, and also of animals too, you know, who are freezing, you know, everywhere. So we have to take care of ourselves, of our society. But we will get through this. You know, we lived, and you lived, everyone, humans lived without central heating for most of its own history. So we can get through this. But we want to be free. We don't want to be a part of Russia. We don't want our leaders or our teachers or our doctors, you know, or kids, civilians to be executed summarily or killed or tortured. We don't want any of that. And this is much more important than cold.
And that was Dr. Timofey Milovanov, former Ukrainian economy minister and president of the Kyiv School of Economics, speaking with me just before I came on air.